If you take an anti-infective drug in the developing world, can you be utterly confident that the drug is genuine? A new review in the Lancet Infectious Diseases says no, and also says that this problem is a massively under-recognised one, which requires increased attention all over the world. Speaking to me on the phone from Laos was lead author Paul Newton, who is based with the Centre for Clinical Vaccinology and Tropical Medicine in Oxford.
Counterfeit drugs, as defined by the WHO, are ones that have been deliberately mislabeled as to where they came from or what they contain. And the counterfeit drug can either have no active ingredient, too much, or too little. But the key thing is that it involves the intention to deceive.
What is the scale of the problem of counterfeit anti-infectives?
It's very hard to put an accurate number on the situation. There are, of all counterfeit drugs, the published estimates of the global prevalence range from 1 to 50%, which I think really means that we don't know. And it's geographically very variable. There are certainly hotspots where a large proportion of the anti-infectives available are counterfeit. But to give accurate numbers is very difficult because the research to determine that has really not been done.
Even at a conservative estimate, though, I mean, how many people could be affected by these?
Even if 1% of all drugs globally were counterfeit, considering the billions of preparations of drugs that are produced each year, even 1% would affect millions of people.
And also, exactly how are these people affected? I mean, are we talking about an increase in mortality, an increase in people who believe that they are receiving the correct drug, but in fact, that it is not helping them whatsoever?
I think that's inevitable. If you have a drug that contains no active ingredient that you use for treating a potentially fatal disease, such as malaria or typhoid or TB, they're effectively being untreated. And therefore, these diseases have mortality, and therefore, logically, the mortality must rise.
Is there also an economic effect here on the money that is made from genuine pharmaceutical products?
Yes, the pharmaceutical industry is losing many millions of pounds every year because of counterfeits. And it's having a bad effect on health systems generally, a lack of trust in health systems. So it has an effect both on the pharmaceutical industry and on government and private health systems.
And in your paper, you also talk about another important effect, which is that if drugs have a substandard level of a drug within them, then that might actually aid the development of resistance among certain organisms.
That's right. If a drug has a less than therapeutic amount of active ingredient within, then that's a risk for the development and spread of drug-resistant organisms and is a great worry for diseases such as malaria and TB, where drug resistance has been a very severe clinical problem.
So what kind of drugs are actually affected by this the most?
Again, because of the lack of hard evidence, it's hard to be sure, but it seems that anti-infectives, particularly anti-malarials and antibiotics, are predominantly affected in the tropics. In more wealthy countries, such as in Europe and the US, it seems to be more lifestyle medicines, such as Viagra and the drugs for treating peptic ulcer disease, etc., that are particularly targeted.
Okay, now within the paper you do talk about a number of different possible actions, and I'd firstly like to talk about just how difficult it might be, firstly, to just spot when this is going on. I mean, how difficult is it to actually detect when a counterfeit drug is existing in a particular area?
It can be very hard. The people who are making the counterfeits are often very sophisticated and are very good at copying the packaging of the genuine article. So it can be very hard to distinguish the genuine from the counterfeit.
And also looking at the makeup of the drug itself, I mean, is it possible to do any kind of easy tests to look at the pill itself and to see whether it contains something active?
Yes, Dr. Mike Green and the colleagues at CDC in the US have developed a series of inexpensive but accurate and simple tests that one can do as for the screening of drug quality. Using dye tests and using refractive index tests, one can get a good idea as to whether the tablet that one's inspecting contains the right active ingredient and in the right amount.
What are the other actions that you talk about in the paper that could be done, and also the difficulties associated with those?
There are a whole range of different interventions that we think need to be in place, from legal and police and customs action to increased drug inspection and drug regulation, and also educating the public about the nature of the problem, and also more research on the extent of the problem and trying to work out what are the most cost-effective interventions. And there needs to be more openness about the problem and more political will in governments to attack the problem. But all those things really hinge on having a national drug regulatory authority that is very effective. We also suggest that the provision of either free or inexpensive medicines for key diseases such as malaria or TB should be very important to undercut the counterfeiters. The only reason the counterfeiters are doing this is to make money, and if organizations such as the Global Fund and the Gates Foundation, etc., are able to support medicines that are available and are so inexpensive that it does not allow the counterfeiters to make any money, then that may be also a very effective intervention.
Paul Newton of the Centre for Clinical Vaccinology and Tropical Medicine in Oxford. For the Audio Journal of Global Health Issues, I'm Derek Thorne.